Welcome to my podcast, Steeped in Slavery, how the globalization of coffee was used to promote colonialism and the slave trade.
I'm Julia Nam, and I'll be the host of this podcast. Follow along to learn more about the globalization of coffee.
If you walk into a local Starbucks, Mojo 516, or Gilbert's, you would hear the familiar sounds of a busy coffee shop. You would see labels that say the fruity flavors of Brazil, the nutty notes of Vietnam, and the sweet aroma of Colombia. These descriptions demonstrate the many different tastes and flavors of a popular globalized commodity. Coffee. With more than 80 species of coffee in the world, the global commodity is known for its flavor variations depending on its home country. Its lack of international uniformity means that consumers often balance their morning ritual with diverse earthy, acidic, or floral flavors, and can experience a taste of the world before they start their day. Coffee serves as a conversation starter, a meeting place, a means of celebration, and a pick-me-up. While the United States is full of Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts coffee chains, the commodity of coffee holds extreme cultural, economic, and political significance. Due to its rich history, this product serves as a promising representative of globalization. A simple cup of coffee exemplifies unique flavors of global cultures and how commodities are specialized to their specific geographic locations. While the delicious drink is known to promote economic success and global value chains, the beans of coffee are nonetheless steeped in colonialism, racialized capitalism, and slavery. Popular, name-brand coffee chains that you may recognize have recently been investigated and found to be using modern-day slave labor on coffee plantations, threatening their ethical standards. This podcast will cover how your favorite latte has become transformed into the global commodity that it is today, and the historic globalization of coffee through the lens of colonialism and slavery. So, grab a cup, sit back, and enjoy.
Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups.
Before diving into the globalization of coffee, it's important to note some significant theories that are prominent within the production of the commodity. Bringing in some theoretical arguments, the idea of coloniality of power refers to the prominent legacy of European colonialism in the modern world and how it has become integrated into contemporary capitalist societies and social orders. European rule established extreme racial, political, and social hierarchies that introduced racialized capitalism and the extraction of slave labor to further economic success. As a popular commodity, the history of coffee exemplifies how the coloniality of power has remained prevalent in modern society. Moving into the history of the drink, the National Coffee Association has traced coffee back to the ancient forests in Ethiopia, sometime around 850 AD. The 14th century Ottoman Empire brought coffee from Africa to Europe to Asia, as the regions under Ottoman rule were exposed to the delicacy. Most scholars agree that the drink was cultivated and traded on the Arab Peninsula sometime around the 15th century. It quickly went international, and the market for coffee expanded during the 18th century, reaching almost every continent in the world.
In a 2020 article, coffee expert Corey Gilman describes the emergence of coffee as rooted in racism and a bitter history, phrases that allude to the prominence of the slave trade and coloniality of power rooted in the drink's history.
From the mid-1700s on, coffee production has become increasingly slave-driven. Strong colonial powers in the Caribbean, specifically the Dutch and the French, were spurred by the economic explosion of the energizing drink and utilized their slave-run colonies to increase production. An expert in Dutch global commodity chains, scholar Tamira Combrink, discusses the role of coffee production as, quote, pivotal to Dutch foreign trade and economic power, end quote. The Dutch ultimately became the world's leading depository for coffee, a success that would not have been possible without slavery. They maintained extreme levels of slavery in their West Indies colonies to expand their market. In these colonies, the Dutch utilized both slavery and marketing boards, forcing peasants to grow coffee and sell it at a set price that benefited the Dutch economy, but not the local cultivators. While the colonial power's economy skyrocketed, so did the extremes of slavery. The success of coffee in the Americas was heavily dependent on slavery. Coffee was brought to the Americas by European colonizers, who participated in the Triangle Trade to promote their product. The Triangle Trade moved people and goods between West Africa, Europe, and the Caribbean colonies. As coffee was transported, so were slaves. The French were the principal suppliers of coffee in the Americas during the 18th century, as their colony of Saint-Domingue, now Haiti, was supplying half of the world's coffee as a direct result of slavery. The country was completely overrun by coffee and sugar plantations, two commodities that go hand in hand. Following the slave revolt in Haiti, the Dutch colonies took over the global value chain of the caffeinated commodity. They played a key role in coercing the Javanese ethnic group in Indonesia to grow coffee, brewing the beginnings of the now famous Java blend. This flavorful blend results from an indentured workforce and stolen land on the island of Java, where slaves suffered extreme living conditions, torture, and starvation in the coffee communities. Over the course of 400 years, approximately 11 million Africans were captured and enslaved, trading the rest of their lives for coffee. At the beginning of the 19th century, nearly all coffee that was exported on the world market was produced by European colonies, or should I say, produced by slaves in the European colonies. As evidenced by the Dutch and French successes in their coffee colonies, the international commodity is steeped in a history of slavery and colonialism. Global coffee plantations have been known to promote systematic slavery, a concept that is unfortunately still prevalent in modern coffee communities. The modern slavery of forced labor is incredibly prevalent on Brazilian coffee plantations. Workers on these plantations typically earn less than 2% of the retail price of coffee and are stuck in an endless cycle of debt bondage, degrading work conditions, and health risks. In 2018, labor inspectors with the Fair World Project found slave labor on Brazilian plantations that cultivate Starbucks coffee. To make matters worse, the investigation revealed that these plantations were certified by Starbucks ethical production standards. Following the example of Starbucks, Nestle and Egberts, two of the world's largest coffee producers, have acknowledged that slave labor is a risk in their Brazilian blend. Evidently, the label of fair trade or ethically certified that we often see on coffee bags does not guarantee an equitable standard of living or sufficient working conditions for plantation employees. Instead, some of the largest contributors to the global value chain are actively neglecting the existence of modern slavery on their coffee plantations.
A lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherries.
The coffee market has shaped country economies and their power on the global stage. However, through slave-based labor plantations, the bitter brew has furthered the legacy of colonial powers by cultivating new environments to exploit the slave trade and the global value chain. The coffee market is now forever imprinted with the historic legacy of colonialism. Unfortunately, the history is still continuing. Modern slavery is prominent on coffee plantations and represents historic racialized capitalism that promotes dominant economies. So, the next time that you make a cup of coffee, think about the implications of this globalized product and how its history is steeped in slavery.
I've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea.